Romans chapter 12. And this morning we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Then Pastor will be preaching a message titled, Your Mind Matters. Your Mind Matters. Taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would you read this in unison with me this morning, starting with verse 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to sit under the preaching of the word. We ask now, God, that you would bless our pastor with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, give him the words to say, and Father, give us the ears to hear and hearts to obey what the man of God would have for us this morning, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be focusing really this morning in verse number 2 for our time together. But I'm excited to look into God's Word and be able to look at this thought. Your mind matters. Your mind matters. Now, I'm going to ask that maybe we pray a little bit and we ask the Lord to give us a special grace to be able to stay awake, to stay focused, to stay attentive. It looks like it's been a busy weekend for a lot of people. And so if you've got it in you, a few extra amens, wives, a few extra elbows, whatever we need to do, amen? Because the Word of God matters. We didn't come here to get a nap. We came to get something from God, amen? I suppose as long as you leave with something, it's all good, even if it is a little bit of rest, but in jest. But I'm excited to see what God has for us this morning as we look into Romans chapter 12. And just before we dive in, a couple of things of business for us. Number one, I wanted to say that for those who wanted the material from Wednesday night, we ran out of material really fast. That material is printed and available at both entrances. And so if you wanted one of those, make sure that you pick one of those up there from our study on Calvinism. Number two, I wanted to mention that tonight is going to be a very, very, very special night. I'm excited about tonight. Tonight, our missionary, Brother Roger Tooley, is going to be speaking for us. And so you need to come back and you need to hear Brother Roger. He's going to give an update on the ministry there in England. He's going to be preaching for us tonight. And so always exciting to hear what God is doing around the world and how God is using our missionaries and our missions program. So I'm excited for that. You be back tonight for that. And then also a note, next week we will be having a baptismal service. And so if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again, but you've not been baptized after salvation as an indication of what Christ has done for you and your desire to live for Him, you need to be. And so if that's you and you need to be baptized, please see me after the service today and we can get that schedule. But we will be baptizing next Sunday. Whew. So now that we're done with the second round of announcements, are we ready to go? All right, here we go, Romans chapter 12. The two verses that we read this morning really ought to be two verses that you have in your spiritual repertoire, that you have hidden in your heart, that you really have memorized. These verses present a powerful truth that provide both the posture and the process for growing spiritually. That we surrender our bodies, that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And really, that is the posture and the process of spiritual growth. Now, for the last month or so on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about salvation. But this morning, I want us to consider what comes next. After salvation, the Bible says that we begin the process of what is called sanctification. That is, we begin to grow spiritually. That we are newborn babes in Christ, having been born again, and that we ought to learn to grow to maturity in Christ. That means changes take place. not just of my eternal destination in salvation, but in my demeanor and in my demonstration that my life changes. Now, change can be an awful word, can it not? How many don't really like change this morning? Be honest enough. My hand's up. I don't like change. If I could wear the same two shirts and they never wore out, and the same three ties and they never wore out, I would be a happy man. I don't like change. Now, some people do like change. Do we have any gluttons for punishment in the room? I love change. Okay. Bill, that surprises me, my friend. You seem like a, don't take this the wrong way, but a stuck in the way kind of guy, all right? But I tell you, change, whether you like it or lump it, it is inevitable. And I remind us this, no aspect of your life is static. Meaning no aspect of your life is stationary. Every part of your life is changing all the time. And so change is inevitable. We see change in society, change in technology, change in people, change in jobs, change in health, change in relationships. The list goes on and on and on. Brother and Mrs. Kaufman are experiencing one of the grand changes of life. They are new parents. Can we put, Don, somewhere back there is the picture of little Charlie. Let's put it up there this morning. Let me introduce you to Charles Emerson Kaufman VI. He's a handsome little guy, isn't he? I tell you, Mama and Daddy are proud parents, and rightfully so. But I tell you, it was funny. His dad was here. Charles, where are you, Charles? He went to take a nap somewhere. Okay. Then I can talk about him because he's not here. Perfect. Charles's daddy was here on Wednesday night, and he was talking about how excited he was, and Charlie's here, the baby's here, and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I walked in, and Charles was there with Charlie in the nursery, and he kind of mouthed through the glass. He says, we finally got him to stop crying. And he said, preacher, I didn't have the heart to tell him. He ain't even really begun to cry yet. Oh, poor Mrs. Kaufman, the morning that she had Charlie, it was a little after 7 o'clock, and they were preparing for the C-section, and I was there to have a word of prayer, and she made the comment. She said, you know what? I'm just ready to get this done. I am tired. And I thought, ha, 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 woo. Change. What a beautiful change that is. Amen. I'm going to tell you what a beautiful change it is when God saves us. Amen. When He lifts us out of the miry clay, He sets our feet on that rock, and He not only changes our destination, He not only saves us, but He begins the process of transforming us into the image of His dear Son, that we can be to the praise of His glory. And so this morning we are going to look at an often overlooked key to our spiritual growth. We talk about growing spiritually all the time and how we need to do it. I heard a preacher say one time, if you want to ruin a good sermon, ask the preacher how. That's a great way to ruin a good sermon. Preacher, I want to grow spiritually. I want to be more like Christ. I want to progress in sanctification. How? Well, the Bible here in our passage this morning gives us the key. And it's a key that we don't talk about often. It is our mind. You know, we talk so much about the heart and being moved of God. But heart with no head won't get you where you're going. So this morning, church, we're going to take a checkup from the neck up, if you will. Because your mind matters. Look at verse number 2 of Romans 12. The Bible simply says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, the significance of our mind. The significance of our mind. You see its significance in our spiritual development. its significance in our development. The Bible teaches us that the mind is the means to our transformation, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how is it that change takes place? How is it that this metamorphosis takes place in our lives? How is it that we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? It is by the renewing of our mind. That means if my mind's not right, it doesn't matter what kind of zeal I have. If my mind's not right, it doesn't matter what emotion I have. If my mind's not right, it doesn't matter how good my intentions are. If my mind's not right, it doesn't matter how good of a church I go to. It is by the renewing of our mind. Transformation does not come but from with renewal within. Now understand this, and this is where we get off. Spiritual transformation does not mean trading the to-do list of the flesh for the to-do list of the Bible. You know, I think sometimes that's where Christians get off, is we have our to-do list and we say, as long as I'm not, and as long as I'm not, and as long as I'm not, and as long as I do, and as long as I do, and as long as I do, and as long as I don't, and as long as I don't, and as long as I do, then I can become a mature Christian. No, most often you become a Pharisee. Because that's what they did. Spiritual transformation does not mean trading the to-do list of the flesh for the to-do list of the Bible. It is not the works of the flesh versus the works of the law. And this is an important distinction. Transformation is generated from within. It is not imposed from without. And your mind must be renewed biblically before your behavior will be transformed. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. Look what Paul says here. He says, "And put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So, church, are we to put off some things? Are there things as believers that we ought not do? Absolutely. Are there some things that we should do according to the Word of God? Are there some things that we ought to put on, take on ourselves, and make sure we are a part of? We do put off and we do put on, but what did those verses hinge on? What did verse 22 and 24 hinge on? It hinged on 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Do you see the importance, the significance of our mind? It's significant in our development. And it's significant in our discernment. You look at the rest of verse 2 there in Romans chapter 12, and it says this, "And be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the purpose of renewal, that provides transformation is that we might be able to, the Bible says, prove. This is the purpose. This is the intent. The purpose or intent of the transformation is that we might prove, which means to discern, or prove, which means to test, for the purpose to display that the will of God is good, that it is acceptable, and that it is perfect. That we might know and prove the will of God. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 18 tells us this. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." That if our eyes and our understanding are enlightened, then, ladies and gentlemen, we can begin to understand what God has for us. Formation of the mind, let me put it this way. Formation of the mind allows you to move forward. Formation of the mind allows you to move forward. In other words, when my mind is renewed and my life is transformed, it allows me to make steps of progress in my Christian life and move forward in my walk with God. Formation of mind allows us to move forward. I'm going to remind us this morning that a chicken with its head cut off can exert a lot of energy and can run around for a long time, as I understand it. But it ain't getting where it's going. In our discernment. And the reality is, a chicken with its head cut off is what a lot of believers look like spiritually. It's not for lack of zeal, and it's not for lack of energy, and it's not for lack of intention. But most of us, if we're honest this morning, have very little grip or have a shallow understanding on what the Bible mindset is, what the Bible teaching is, what the will of God is in this life. I mean, I will ask us this week, as we look and we think and we understand, how good of a grip do we really have about what the Bible teaches about money? About money. How good of a grip do we have this week about what the Bible teaches about marriage? You see, a lot of us would say, you know what? I know what the Bible teaches about marriage. I know who ought to be married, who ought not to be married, and I can give you all those verses. Yeah, but sometimes we say those things and then we go home and treat our spouse like trash. We don't know what the Bible teaches about marriage. We don't live it. What the Bible teaches about parenting, what the Bible teaches about work, what the Bible teaches about time, what the Bible teaches about friends, what the Bible teaches about entertainment. And the significance of our mind is this, is that it is the key. It is the hinge. It is the pivot point upon which our spiritual life moves forward or moves backwards, by which we grow closer to Christ or we fall back from Christ. You will never really be able to move forward until your mind is truly formed in Bible truth. Or as we've been saying all year, you will never really rise until you're rooted. You will never really bear fruit until you are grounded in the things of God. Do you see the significance of our mind this morning? Significant in our development. Significant in our discernment. So the question comes, let's continue to develop this how. How is it that we develop the right kind of mindset? Well, I want you to see, if you would, Roman numeral 2, the source of our makeup. The source or the schooling of our makeup. Verse number 2 again tells us this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice with me, if you would, the particular command. The particular command. Now, there are many places in the Bible where God presents a stark contrast between two options. And then he urges the hearers to make a choice. For instance, to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 19, just before they entered the promised land, God, through his prophet, said this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God said, you're going to go one or two ways. You're going to go towards life and blessing, or you're going to go towards death and cursing. Choose which way you're going to go. I think of Joshua after they had conquered the promised land, as he was preparing to pass off the scene. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, Joshua said this to the children of Israel, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua looks at the nation of Israel and he says, get it settled. Mark it down. Who are you going to serve? The little g gods or Jehovah God? Choose. Think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Jesus said to the crowd that was there listening, he said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. After preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to sum everything up and call the people for a decision. And he says, you're either going to go in at the straight gate, or you're going to go in at the broad gate. You're going to walk the narrow way, or you're going to walk the broad way. You're going to head to life, or you're going to head to destruction. Choose. Choose. And so all throughout Scripture we see where this binary choice is set up. You must choose. And we see this here in Romans chapter 12. The apostle here, he presents to us the mercies of God in Romans chapter 1 through 11. And then in chapter 12, he begins to develop this thought that because of the mercies of God, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Verse 2, that we ought to be transformed and prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's a call here. Will you be conformed to the world, or will you be transformed into the image of Christ? Every believer here this morning faces a binary choice, meaning you only have two options. Conform to the culture, or be changed into the image of Christ. Be conformed to the culture, or be changed into the image of Christ. And what we have to understand this morning about this particular command is that my makeup, my mindset, if you will, my worldview, my mind is my choice. I choose whether to be conformed to the world or transformed into the image of Christ. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. He says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, if God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And God says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The command here to me, the command here to you is not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And it is your choice. Amen. Circumstances may be difficult, but they are not determinant. Meaning you may have bad health. You may have a bad family life. You may have bad relationships. You may be in a bad work situation. You may have bad finances. It just might be bad, 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 bad. Though your circumstances may be difficult, they are not determinant. And we can choose to glorify God. We can choose to be like Christ in any and every circumstance we face. And by the way, it works the other way. Just because you go to a good church, just because you are in a good home, just because doesn't mean that you naturally conform to the image of Christ. I'm going to tell you, in my experience, Bible college was the place where I saw more people fall away from God than any other. Just because you're in a bad situation doesn't mean you can't be transformed. Just because you're in a good situation doesn't mean you are transformed. It is your choice. And the snag here, the issue is that you have a choice, but what you are faced with is a powerful current. The world we live in, ladies and gentlemen, is not a passive environment. It is a system opposed. It is a system against God. The values of this world, the virtues of this world, conflict and even combat the Word and the will of God. John wrote this in 1 John chapter number 2, beginning in verse 15. He told the believers, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's either or, not both. James put it this way. I tell you what, this ought to strike you. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'm going to tell you, the world we live in is not a passive environment. And it's like gravity, always around you, always exerting pressure. It's like a current, subtle and strong, almost unnoticeably bringing into compliance of thought and then action. I played with Play-Doh a couple months ago up here, so I decided not to play with Play-Doh again today, lest it be a habit. But you take Play-Doh and you can put it in a mold. You can exert external pressure, put it in a mold, and I can make object after object after object after object. Why? A little external pressure, a little mold, and you have what you're looking for. And buddy, that's what the world's trying to do to you and I. Tell me every time you turn on the TV, there's not external pressure. Tell me that any time you're out and about, you're at the mall, you're at Walmart, there's not external pressure. This world, like gravity, like a current, is after us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 2 tells us this, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Hey, is that what we want this morning? Church, is that what we want? That we should not live the rest of our time in the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. Is that what we want this morning? The problem is, most of us don't even recognize how affected we are. Most of us have no idea just how much we have succumbed to the outside pressure of this world. Let me give you a verse. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Leave that up there for me, Don, if you would. What a wonderful verse. Here God teaches us the types of things that we ought to frame our mind around. But let me ask you this. How much of the TV you watch this week actually checked those boxes? Let me ask you this. How much of the music you listen to this week checked those boxes? How many of the friends that you allowed to influence you this week check those boxes? How many of the things on social media or the internet that you allowed to rob you of your peace, that you allowed to frustrate you, upset you, check those boxes? You see, ladies and gentlemen, God gives us instructions. But like the frog in the pot, the water temperature is rising around us and we don't even recognize it. We don't. Most of us don't even realize how far the current of the world has pulled us. Most of us don't even recognize how far we've been pushed into that mold. Let me ask you this, your marriage or your parenting, what is it based off of? What you saw your parents do or what you saw other people do? What you see in the culture around you? Or can we really explain from the Word of God how we do, why we do, and what we do? Where does how we live our life come from? How we spend our money is probably more determined by the culture around us and the commercials that we see than it is by what we see in the Word of God. And I want us to understand this morning, I'm not here to say that you're a wicked, low-down, no-good, God-hating person. What I do want us to realize is this. Most of us have been conformed to the world because we have largely grown careless, neglectful, or have failed to keep our guard up. Every one of us can think back to something that used to make us blush, that doesn't anymore. Used to make us cringe, that doesn't anymore. Used to prick our conscience, that doesn't anymore. That doesn't mean it's right all of a sudden. The current, the powerful current. So, preacher, what do? If it's a choice that I need to make, if it's the life I need to live, but the world with its values and its virtues is dead set against me living for God, how is it that I can? Well, Roman numeral 3 this morning, let's look at the strengthening of our mindset. How is it that we strengthen our mind? You know, the Bible says back in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that word renewing, if we need to renew our minds, maybe we should look at the other context by which we are told that we are renewed or that we need to be renewed. Well, it's interesting, you do a search and that word is only used one other time in the entire Bible. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of, who is it, church? The Holy Spirit. Our renewing is a work that is performed by the Holy Spirit of God within us. Now, the Holy Spirit, understand this, church, is a major aspect of the victorious Christian life. I mean, you think of it this way, in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are not traded for the works of the law. What are the works of the flesh traded for? They're traded for the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is the agent of renewal in our minds. Now, I want us to understand this, that the Holy Spirit of God is our next study. Meaning, next Sunday morning, we are going to get into being rooted in the Holy Spirit. And it is going to be a powerful month or so on Sunday mornings. You've got to be here to understand the Holy Spirit of God and what He does in our lives. He's at work convicting. He's at work illuminating. He's at work leading. He's there interceding. He is the still, small voice. And if you are a born-again believer, He indwells you. And you ought to learn to listen to Him. As the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 19, that we would quench not the Spirit. As it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, that we would grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, one of the troubles is that a lot of believers are either misinformed or uninformed about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. You know, there are a lot of denominations that I would say are quite a bit misinformed and who have scared us into being uninformed. But we just need to root ourselves in what the Bible says. Amen? And never deviate, never wonder, never worry about what the Bible says. And so if we are going to have renewed minds, we are going to have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. But some of us haven't felt or heard Him at work in a long, long time. When I say the Holy Spirit at work in your life, when I say He is that still small voice, some of us have no idea what I'm even talking about on a practical level. You will never be renewed in your mind until you are tuned in your mind to the Holy Spirit. And so the strengthening of our mindset comes from the Holy Spirit, but it also comes from the Holy Scriptures. You know, there's no shortcut. There's no secret. The way to renew the mind is to allow the Spirit of God to do His work with the Word of God. Now, if we don't prioritize the input of the Word, let me ask you, what does the Spirit of God have to work with? If we don't prioritize the input of the Word, if we don't relentlessly pursue the truth of God, if we don't relentlessly pursue the Bible and the Word of God, what will the Holy Spirit have to work with? Garbage in, garbage out. It is a principle that applies across a broad spectrum of truths. It is no wonder. My wife and I, a couple months ago, did a little fitness competition. We haven't talked about it since. Quite frankly, for me, it's no wonder. You know what I do? I eat. I eat all the time. All the time. A lot. And it's junk. Do I know it's bad for me? Yes. But do I want it? Yes. And now my kids are at that beautiful age where I can say, hey, sweetie, will you go get Daddy another bag of gummies? And they do. They even fight about who gets to do it. Charles, that's a great age, man. Hold on, it's coming. But I'm going to tell you, it's no wonder I can't lose weight. Garbage in, garbage out. I'm going to tell you, it's no wonder. You look at society, it's no wonder kids who stare at screens for 12 hours a day can't read or can't comprehend. They stare at a screen that flashes every 3 to 4 seconds. Their minds are amused. By the way, amusement is a word that literally means not to think or without thinking. And so it's no surprise that kids just spend all their time being amused. Can't read, think, or comprehend. Can't focus long enough to read a couple of sentences. And it's no surprise that a Christian who doesn't read their Bible, who doesn't meditate on the Word of God, who doesn't pray, who comes to church when it's convenient, it's no surprise that a Christian who doesn't relentlessly pursue the Word of God would struggle to grow in Christ. I had to ask myself this week, where do I spend more time? Do I spend more time with the world or in the Word? Am I more comfortable on the couch or with Christ? Am I more in tune to social media or to Scripture memory? You say, oh, preacher, I can't memorize Scripture. My mind just doesn't work that way. Your mind remembers what Sally posted 3 weeks ago on Facebook because you couldn't believe she would say that. Uh-uh. I'm going to tell you, if your mind can remember that, it can remember Scripture. The internalization and influence of the Word of God has always been the path to blessing. the Bible said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The internalization and the influence of the Word of God has always been the path to blessing. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You see, the internalization and influence of the Word of God has always been the path to blessing. Hey, James chapter 1 and verse 25 tells us this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Why? Because the internalization and influence of the Word of God has always been the path to blessing. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. The last book of the Bible, in case you missed it, God said this, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand." The internalization and influence of the Word of God has always been the path to blessing. Hey, Christian, this morning the command is clear. And the choice is yours. Will you be conformed to culture? Or will you be miraculously changed into the image of Jesus Christ? Transformed, metamorphosized by the miraculous salvation that God has worked within you. Hey, I'm going to tell you this morning, there's no mystery to either. To be conformed to the world, you know what you do? You simply immerse yourself in it. Doesn't cost anything. And there's no real reward. But to be changed into the image of Christ. You know what you do for that? You immerse yourself in Him. You immerse yourself in His Word. You immerse yourself in His will. And you allow the Spirit of God to do His work. It takes great effort. Great effort. Effort that most people aren't willing to put out. But it yields great reward. If we're honest this morning, that checkup from the neck up has probably revealed some stinking thinking. What we have now is an opportunity to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because your mind matters. Could we stand together this morning with our heads bound and our eyes closed? And we understand this morning, that if I want my behavior to be right, if I want my life to be like Christ, then my mind has got to be right. It's great that my heart is filled with emotion, but it's not the heart. It's the head. Your mind matters. Father, I pray you'd have your will and your way, that we would be honest before you this morning, that we would deal with the things that we need to deal with, that we would submit our mind to you, that we would commit ourselves to your word and surrender ourselves to your Spirit. Father, have your will, have your way, and in all things be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's spoken to you this morning as the musicians play and Brother Brown begins to sing. Would you come meet with God? Would you come meet with God? If you believe it's that important, then let's meet with God this morning. As Brother Brown sings, would you come?
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to thy breast, shelter me.
Some of us this morning should just be humble enough to say, I don't even realize how much the world's affected me. Find a place and just say, search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. Have enough courage to pray that and then respond as God reveals.
Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful now contrite heart, grant me thy cleansing, thy blood doth impart. Grant me thy
cleansing. As we close out the invitation this morning, I'd like to sing a verse of this if we could. Hymn number 567 in your hymnals, 567. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, O Savior, precious thou art. Let's sing together on the first.